My very first 2 years of full-time church work were spent entirely with teenagers. I was a high school youth pastor when I got going, actually at a large church, and had about 100 teenagers under my care. Before that, I volunteered forever in youth groups and spent most of my Wednesday evenings with teenagers. When I was in college, I spent my summers working as a camp counselor at a summer camp where teenagers came to spend an entire week having the time of their life, all while growing in their relationship with Jesus. And so in the course of my time in church work, I have spent a great deal of time with teenagers. And from year to year, state to state, camp to camp, church to church, it really didn't matter. There was always one question that it seemed that every growing, developing, maturing, puberty-ing Christian teenager wanted to know, right? For every Christian teenager that had become aware of the opposite sex, it seemed there was always one question they were asking, and that question was this: how far is too far? Okay, you tracking with me here? Because I don't want to have to say a whole lot more than that. Okay, I'll take that as a yes. Okay, now here's what I need all of us to do together. I want to have everybody sigh a big collective sigh of relief together. That no, I do not intend to spend the rest of the morning talking about hormone-crazed teenagers. But this question that they ask, how far is too far? This question that they ask, it's an interesting one to me. Because as we grow into adults, especially good Christian adults, I think that we ask a version of the very same question for just about every single area of our life. It very well may include that area that teenagers are curious about, but it is not limited to that. It's not just how far, sometimes it's how much or how many. We want to know how many drinks is too many? Or how much is too much? How much is too much food or too much chocolate or too much money or too much spending or too much shopping or too much Netflix or Facebook? Or how much is too much bending the truth? Which TV shows and which websites are really a little bit too inappropriate? What movies for us, right, are rated just a little bit too high, right? When does talking about them behind their back switch from coincidental conversation to gossip? And what words are okay for me to be saying? Is hell bad, but heck is okay? You know, how does that work? Where exactly is the limit? See, I think it's questions like these and so many other questions just like them that we ask all the time. And so what I want to do today is I want to explore them and see if we can get to the bottom and get some answers for these kind of questions. And we're going to do that in the fourth week of this series, I Have a Question. And the reason for the series is this: we recognize that church doesn't always seem like a place where you can ask the questions that might be on your mind. And so we want to do our best to ask some of those questions for you. And so today, for those of you who are really fully devoted followers of Jesus, and if that's not you quite yet, I'm still so glad that you are here. You get to listen in on the things that I want to talk about with everyone else, and you can play along if you want, okay? But for everyone else, for those of you who really are followers of Jesus, I think you're asking some of these very same questions as you live your everyday life. And I would suggest to you that all of them, all of the how far, all of the how many, all of the how much questions can all be boiled down to the very same question. I would suggest that all the how far is too far, how much is too much, I would suggest that they can all be boiled down to the same question that lies just below the surface of them all. See, what we're really asking in all of these questions is this: where does sin begin? Where does sin really begin? We want to be good. We want to be holy, and we want to be righteous and all those big words. And so we want to know, where does good end, and then where does sin begin? And for many things, God is very clear. Hey, there's right, there's wrong, there's good, there's bad. But for so many other things, it's just a little bit more gray. And so often, I think that we wish life and following Jesus was like a basketball court, right? With lines that are clearly marked for what is inbounds and what is out of bounds, right? We like that. We want someone to draw a box for us. We want someone to draw boundaries for us so that we can just play inside the lines and then never have to take a hard look at the choices that we're making or why exactly we're making them. The difficult part, however, is that sin rarely begins, well, that's what we want to know, right? Where does sin begin? Sin rarely begins on one side or the other of some arbitrary boundary line, right? It begins somewhere else, so much harder for us to identify, somewhere that we need to be more aware of if we truly are going to become a whole lot more like Jesus. And so today I want to show you where indeed it does begin. And to do so, we're going to turn to the New Testament book of Mark. Mark records a moment when Jesus and his disciples have one of many, many, many confrontations with the religious leaders in that day who were known as the Pharisees. Very quickly, here's what's going on. Some of these Pharisees and some of the other religious teachers of the law, they showed up to a place where Jesus and his disciples were gathered, and they noticed that Jesus' disciples began eating without first washing their hands. And you might be thinking, that's gross. The Pharisees were thinking, that's unholy. Worse yet, that's sinful. See, here's the deal. Good Jews, which Jesus' disciples were, good Jews did not eat unless their hands had first been ceremonially washed. In fact, they didn't eat until the cups and the plates and the silverware had been ceremonially washed as well. And so this oversight by the disciples, it was a big no-no. And the Pharisees, they cannot let it slide. Look at chapter 7, verse 5. It says this. So the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law asked him, they asked Jesus, they confront him, why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. See, apparently this was a pretty big party foul. And what you need to know is that the Pharisees' concern in this moment, it was not a concern about hygiene. It was a concern about purity, righteousness, right and wrong, right? According to their religious traditions, there were some people and places and foods that were considered unclean and taboo and off limits. And so if you were ever to come in contact with any of it out there in the world, well, then you'd better make sure to clean your hands before you eat so that none of that unholiness that rubbed off onto your hands would rub off onto your food and then go inside of you, making you unclean, right? This is the way their religious traditions worked. And so clearly in this moment, the disciples had stepped over the line. That they had crossed the line, that they had went beyond the boundary, and they were now teetering on the fine line of right and wrong. But Jesus, not unconcerned with these kind of matters of holiness, he takes this moment to teach everyone a lesson about real holiness and about real purity and about sin and about right and wrong and good and bad. And as he does, just to keep summarizing here, as he does, he actually calls the Pharisees hypocrites. He says, man, you guys, you know what? You are such fakes. You honor me with your lips every day, but never with your lives, he says to them. He's going, man, you religious people, you make up your own traditions and you make up your own spiritual rituals all the time. And then you consider those rituals more important than what God actually desires of you in the first place. And he gives them a quick example of what he's talking about. And then he summarizes it all for them. He wants to be sure that they understand. And he wants to make sure that anyone with an earshot of this conversation is absolutely clear about what he is getting at. And so he gathers everyone around. And here is what he says to them. He says, all of you listen and try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. Okay? Now, we don't exactly know how the people responded to this or what they thought, but I think they were confused because here's what happens next. Skip down to verse 17. Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. Verse 18, don't you understand either? Jesus asked them, right? Apparently nobody was really clear about what he was getting at, right? Maybe you're a little bit unclear. And so for them and for us too, Jesus continues. He says, can't you see that the food you put into your body, it cannot defile you? And then he jumps down. Then I want us to jump down to verse 20 as he wraps all this up. It says this, and then he added, it is what comes from the inside that defiles you. For from where? From within, out of a person's what? Out of a person's heart. Come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. And they are what defile you. Midcurrent, do you know what that says to me? It says to me that sin begins in the heart. It's not something that we did or didn't do. It's not necessarily some line that we did or didn't cross necessarily, right? And so if we want to know in some area of our life, right, where is the limit? If we want to know where it is that goodness and righteousness and all that really ends, and where is it that sin kind of officially begins, I think Jesus answered it for us here. Sin begins in the heart. And yet for some, that answer is a little disappointing because we were looking for more of a concrete answer. Right, see, most of us think that sin begins on the other side of some kind of imaginary line. Most of us think the difference between right and wrong and good and bad is simply a matter of what side of the line that we're standing on. And so we're looking for that line. We want someone to draw the line for us. If we're honest, I think we really actually do prefer it that way. We would prefer having a line always to refer to. Right? We like when the playing field of life has the lines drawn for us. And I get that, but what I'm saying today is I'm not sure that's always what's best for us. I'm not sure that's always a good thing. Here's why. Because when there's an out of bounds line that we can see and that we can walk up to, when there's boundary lines painted for us in some of these areas of our life, we can be assured that without really ever having to take a hard look at what's inside of us, we can be assured of maximum pleasure with what we assume is minimal sin, right? Because as long as a line is all we're concerned about, well, am I on the right side of the line or did I step over? As long as a line is all we're concerned about, right? You'd better believe that we're gonna get right up to it, as close to it, but never crossing it, as humanly possible. And then we'll pat ourselves on the back for always staying inside the lines, for always appearing as though we have it all together, but we'll have missed the point completely, because sin doesn't always begin on the other side of some kind of boundary line, but it begins in our heart. And in this way, I think Jesus is trying to get people to understand that right and wrong, it's not always a matter of the hands, but of the heart. What do I mean by that? Let me explain, right? Right and wrong, good or bad, sinfulness or righteousness. It's not always simply a matter of what we do out here with our hands or with our feet or with our mouth or our wallet. It's not always a matter of what we do or what we say or always just what we listen to. It's a matter of the heart, the desires of our heart, the posture of our heart, the direction of our heart, the condition of our heart. That's what God is most concerned about. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was with a good friend of mine who is in some of the earlier stages of faith in his relationship with Jesus. And somehow, you stick with me here, okay? Somehow, the topic of swearing came up. And what I had to say to him, I think, blew his mind. I told him that some of the best Christian counselors that I'd ever gone to see, because in my course, in the course of my life and ministry, I've made a regular practice of just making sure that I stay sharp and that I stay on top of my game by seeing Christian counselors. And so I told him that some of the best and most effective Christian counselors that I had gone to see were the ones who weren't afraid to swear in front of me. And he looked at me in amazement and he said, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yeah." And I kid you not, he looked back at me and he said, "That's the best news I've heard all day." He went on to explain that, you know, that as long as his language still slipped from time to time, he was convinced that he would never be as spiritual as a guy like me. In fact, when I texted him to ask him if it's okay that I share this story, he said, "Yeah, go ahead." And then he texted me back and he said, "It was seriously an uplifting deal. I assumed I was doomed." And so I cherished the opportunity to tell him, "Dude, that's just not true, dude. That's not necessarily how it works." Yes, okay, do not misunderstand me. Yes, watching your language is an honorable and a very worthwhile thing to do because of the connection between our words and our heart. But it's not because God has some kind of scorecard where heck is worth 1 point, but hell, minus two. Right? It's not because saying fudge is acceptable, but stringing together some other combination of four letters that also start with an F. Well, though that combination of four letters, that was one too far. The truth is, I can still say fudge or frick or freaking with every bit the same amount of hate or anger or bitterness in my heart. And that's why this matters, right? Sin doesn't begin on the other side of some imaginary line. Whoops, too far. It begins right here in our heart, right? Because we can still say the right words with the wrong heart, right? We can still only have one beer or one glass of wine with the wrong motives, right? We can still spend less with really bad intentions, right? We can still cross the line with just a shoulder massage. We can still junk up our hearts, gentlemen, with just the swimsuit addition. We can still compromise our marriage with just an innocent text message or email exchange. Friends, for some, many actually areas of our lives, there's no line. There's not always a line that we can walk up to and evaluate. It's not always just a matter of our eyes or our ears or our feet or our mouth or our hands. It is always a matter of what's inside, what comes from within, what comes from our heart. Jesus makes the very same point very clear in his most famous Sermon on the Mount. Some of you will be familiar with it if you grew up in church and reading of this Sermon on the Mount. Here's what Jesus preaches that day. He says, "You've heard it said before," to the crowds. He says, "You've heard it said before, do not murder." That is a line that everybody understood you cannot cross. But he says to everyone listening to him preach, "Yeah, well, even if you hate someone in your heart, it's just the same." Same thing with adultery. He reminds them, the law says, the religious law says, don't be unfaithful to your wife. That is the line, that is the boundary, that is the limit that everybody understood. You can't cross that line. And Jesus says, well, even if you look at a woman with lust in your eye, just as destructive. And so that's why I love what Jesus it teaches, right? I wish many more of us would hear and truly understand. He's saying it's not always what's out here that messes up what's in here. It all starts here, and it all flows from here out into the lives that we live. Now, here's the deal. Okay, please, 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 do not get me wrong. I am not saying that I am giving you the permission. Now, I'm not saying that you should just go swear as much as you want or drink as much as you want or spend as much as you want or eat as much as you want or listen to whatever you want or watch whatever shows and TV, and movies you want to watch. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that these matters are not worthy of our very, very, very careful attention. I'm just trying to get us to understand that if the only questions we ask ourselves in an effort to be following Jesus more, if the only questions we ask ourselves are how much or how far or how many, we're already off on the wrong foot. We're already missing the point, right? At times, again, the Bible is very clear about what is sin and what is not sin. But when it's not as clear, when it's a little more gray, when right and wrong is just a little bit more gray, and when we're asking for a boundary, when we're asking for a limit, there's a real good chance that the focus of our heart is in the very wrong place, right from the beginning. And so as I close today, let me be very clear then about what I'm suggesting to you and what I wish for you and for me and for all of us to be thinking about. See, these questions, how much and how many, right? The boundary kind of questions that we ask, they're oftentimes an indication that we need to make a shift in our focus. Right? And these kinds of areas that feel a little bit more gray, here's the shift that we need to make. Okay? We need to focus less on sin management and more on spiritual development. Okay? Which that actually has a name, right? And the name for it is this. It's called discipleship. Becoming more and more like Jesus. Right, the answer to these questions that we ask about right and wrong and what's okay and what's not okay, oftentimes, I'm not saying every time, but oftentimes it's less about sin and it's more about discipleship. It's more about maturing in your relationship with Jesus, which is an everyday kind of journey. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves in some of these gray areas of our life, it's not where does sin begin? It's not, well, am I okay here? What about here? What about here? Am I still okay? Right? The question that we need to ask, it's not, well, can I do this? Can I still do that? But the questions in some of these areas of our lives, the question we need to ask is this. Do I care more about the ways of Jesus than what it is that I can get away with? Right? Do I care about the way of Jesus than about what I can get away with and still be good and still have a halo over my head and still have the brownie points that I've been racking up for so long now? Right? Because boundary questions are typically about what we can still get away with but still be okay. The problem is you better believe that we are going to take every single inch that those boundary lines provide for us. And in those cases, it is all too easy to be in bounds, but way off track. And so as followers of Jesus, right, for those of us in this room or for those of you watching online, who consider ourselves followers of Jesus, I want us to start evaluating our life and our choices and our decisions just a little bit differently. We have to start asking ourselves some different kinds of questions. Not how far is too far, not how many is too many, not how many and can I still be okay? We got to ask ourselves a different set of questions. Those questions may sound a little bit like this, right? Do we believe that life in Christ could be just as full if we had only one glass of wine or maybe even none at all? Right? Do we believe that our value in the eyes of Jesus is just as high, even if the tag on the inside of our t-shirt doesn't have the right brand that we hoped that it did? Right? Do we believe that our life will be empty if we don't watch the show or the movie that everyone is talking about? Do we believe that we would be any less a son or a daughter of the Most High if we didn't mortgage our future for the home of our dreams? Right? Do we really believe that we would be unhappy if we didn't get the latest and the greatest, phone or car or toy or TV? Now, again, please do not get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can't, buy Lululemon. I'm not saying you can't have a nice house. I'm not saying you can't ever spend money on something fun. I'm not saying you can't have an iPhone 12. I'm not saying any of that. I just want all of us to understand that for some of the areas of our lives where we have questions, did I cross the line? It's not always an issue of sin, but maybe of discipleship. Becoming more like Jesus and maturing and developing in the relationship we have with him. Because we can be inbounds and way off track. And I don't want that for us. Midcurrent, our world, in the community around us, in our neighborhoods, and in our workplaces need to see a whole lot more of Jesus. And they need to see a whole lot more of Jesus-like people doing Jesus-like things, making Jesus-like choices in their life. And that opportunity that we have has never been greater than it is right now. Some of you, if you grew up in church, you may be familiar with the old Christian hymn, "They will know we are Christians by our love," by what's right in here. It's not "they will know we are Christians" because we always quit after just one. It's not "they will know we are Christians" because we say heck and not hell. It's not "they will know we are Christians" because we only listen to Christian radio. It's not "they will know we are Christians" because we talk and we act really, really spiritual. It's not "they will know we are Christians" because we vote the right way. It's not that "they will know we are Christians" by anything else that we feel like means we're standing on the right side of some kind of boundary line. It's "they will know that we are Christians." They will know that we're followers of Jesus. They will know that we care more about that way because of what they see flowing out of our hearts into our everyday lives every day of the week. Staying inside the lines, while it's an honorable goal, I understand that we want to try to live our life like that. I get it. But staying inside the lines, it can be a pretty poor or at least an inconsistent way to evaluate our lives, and oftentimes a pretty inaccurate way to evaluate our hearts. And so please don't hear me say that I don't care about some of the places where we may step out of bounds. I'm just saying, man, let's not get too caught up in just sin management. I'm here, I'm here, I'm good, I'm bad. Let's not get too caught up in just playing this sin management game. Let's be more about spiritual development. Let's be more about the ways of Jesus. Let's be more interested in becoming a whole lot more like Jesus and living our lives a whole lot more like him. It's a whole lot harder to do. I will give you that. But I think it's worth it in the end. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this place. Thanks for this chance to be in here, God, to set our hearts and to set our minds and to set our focus on you. God, here's my prayer for each and every one of us in this room, for each and every one of us watching online right now. That deep inside of our hearts, God, we would have a desire for our lives to start looking a whole lot more like you. In the way that we live our life, in the way that we make choices and make decisions every single day. God, I have to imagine that just about every single one of us has areas of our lives where we are wondering, have I crossed the line? Right? Have I stepped over the limit? And I'm not saying, God, that we should stop paying attention to that question that triggers inside of us, God. I'm not saying that we're just free to go stepping out of bounds all over this place. I'm just praying, God, that for those of us wondering, maybe there's a place in our life right now. There's an area of our life playing over in our head that we've been asking ourselves for a long time, a few weeks, a few years, maybe, have I crossed the line here? Have I maybe gone just a bit too far? God, sometimes too far, there's no answer to too far. Sometimes there's no line that we crossed over because we can be in bounds and we can be totally off track at the same time. God, so for anyone here asking that question, I pray that you might help them to make that shift, to start evaluating things, not by, well, is it which side of the line is this on, but by evaluating which decision here in this moment. Which decision right here, right now, is I'm standing at what I feel like is the end? Which decision that I'm about to make, which one is gonna mean that I start becoming a whole lot more like Jesus? Which decision right here and now is gonna demonstrate that I at least wanna begin taking steps toward caring more about the ways of Jesus than just about what it is that I can maybe kind of get away with here? And yet still think, I'm okay. God, remind us too that this approach to life, it's not because you are some strict God, waiting to crack down. God, we know that you are full of love, full of grace, full of mercy, and we want to become so much more like you. And we want the world to see in us something different, God. We want the world to see in us something that flows from our hearts into our lives, into our decisions, into our relationships every single day. And so, God, would you help us to be people who in all things desire more than anything to be living lives that look a whole lot more like you. God, we ask for your help in that. And we give you so much thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, who set the example and who called us to life in such greater ways. May we begin to experience more and more of it in our everyday life and in our families, in our workplaces, in our community, and in this world. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here today. A few things before you leave. Number one, if there is any reason that you need prayer this morning, there'll be someone just to my right who would be so happy to pray for you before you walk on out of here today. We hope that you will be here next week, 10:30 a.m. on site or online. It's Mother's Day. So if any of you have a mother that is saying, we're going to church, then you better say, okay, Mom. We'll make it happen. So we're excited. We got some fun things planned during the service and afterwards as well. So we're just praying that it will be a great day of celebration here together. And so have a great week, and we will hope to see you right back here at 10:30 a.m. Mother's Day. God bless you.